Amen. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. I got two this morning, all right? If you were here last week, I didn't have a pen. Pens, can we see your pens? Very good. And let's see your bulletin. Okay, let's open up that bad boy. We'll look at our memory verse for the week. Okay, right there in the left flap inside, it's Numbers 13, 27b. Let's read that together on three. One, two, three. We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. One more time. We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. If you look around the memory verse, you see a little dotted line. You can cut that out and put that in your wallet or wherever. And right at the bottom, right in that little box, is the reading schedule. And on Wednesday, Numbers 13 to 16, we're going to look at Numbers 13 to 14 today. So turn to Numbers in your Bibles, number 13. If you turn to the back where the notes are, the title of my message is Special K. Special K. As we've been reading through the Bible, we saw in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man, and then he created Israel when he created Abraham. He told Abraham, leave your country. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless the earth through you. In Exodus, we see that the nation of Israel grew to be millions of people, 2-3 million people. They were in slavery, and they were delivered out of slavery in the book of Exodus. Leviticus, we just went through, is the law. We got all the laws and regulations. In Numbers, is the book of wandering. Numbers is where they walked around for 40 years. They numbered the people twice, but they also walked around for 40 years in the book of Numbers. And so here we are at a place called Kadesh Barnea. We're just going to call it Special K. Everybody say Special K. Okay. And what happened was they came from the mountain of Sinai where they got the law, the commandments and the law. They walked 11 days to Kadesh Barnea. Now I want you to think about this. They walked 11 days to Kadesh Barnea, and they are right on the edge of the Promised Land. And they have an opportunity to go into the Promised Land after 11 days after getting the law, 2 years total from when they left. They have an opportunity to get in. That Moses is going to send in 12 guys, one from every tribe of the Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. Each son became a tribe in the nation of Israel, so all the Jews come from one of these 12 tribes. They sent in one representative from each of the tribes to go into the Promised Land to see what it was like. And they were supposed to come back and give a report. And then they were going to go in and take it. But what happens is they get scared. They don't go in and take it. And we're going to go through the process of what they went through because at the end they get judged and they have to walk around 40 years. But they have an opportunity to go into the Promised Land after just 2.5 years. Now, the reason I wanted to give you all that background, even though I told you the whole story, a lot of y'all, if not all of us right now, are on the edge of something that God wants us to do. It could be a new job. It could be a new career. It could be a new relationship. It could be breaking up with a relationship. It could be making a big decision. And it's based on one of his promises. It's not necessarily a promise, you know, I'll never leave you or forsake you promise, but a promise he made to you specifically. I'm going to do this through you. I want to bless you. I want to use this way. And you're right there at the promise, and you're getting ready to take a step of faith to take on the promise and enter into the Promised Land, and something's telling you don't because you're out of fear. And that's what happened here. They had all the, we're going to see, they got all the evidence that it was just like God said. God told them to do it. He's been faithful, but certain people come back and give a bad report out of fear. And so you have to make a decision in your particular life. Are you going to believe God or are you going to believe a bunch of naysayers? Okay? Are you going to believe God or are you going to believe a bunch of naysayers? And your whole Christian life is going to be like that. It's going to be faith step opportunity after faith step opportunity after faith step opportunity. And there's always going to be people going, yeah, yeah, don't do it, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you got to go, bam, bam, give them the elbow, bam, bam, bam. I was my son was at a soccer game. I was at my son's soccer game. He was playing soccer, and there was a woman. She was one of the kids' grandmothers sitting on the sideline. She was in a little chair, and she was just a little overweight, and so she was very uncomfortably in this little tiny chair, and she was real close to the sideline. And I'm sitting there going, this is not good. And a kid, I just knew something was going to happen. And lo and behold, something happened, and they ran out of bounds, ran into her. She fell over, and the kid fell under her, and she fell, and her face just fell flat on his face. And like it was like someone punched her in the face because her head just went, bam, right on his head. And she was okay. You know, we got her. She was okay. But it was, you know, when something happens and it looks like slow motion, she was going over, and I was like, oh, no, she's not going to, and bam. And I said to her after we got her up and, we dusted her off and she was okay. And I said, look, next time they come, you got to do this, okay? So when people in your life are negative, you got to go, bam, bam, get out of here. You know, don't ruin what God is doing in my life, okay? So let's pray, because what I want to pray is that I want you to be thinking about the promise that God has given you. What is it that's right before you that's an amazing thing that God wants to do in your life? I mean, think about the most amazing thing you could be possibly getting ready to do, and that's what I want you to think about today. And when you leave here, I want you to be able to say, I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to believe all the negativity that I'm getting. Amen? So let's all pray, close our eyeballs, and pray. I was just down with the little kids, and here's how I made them pray. I was down visiting all the little the Pebbles Pathways and Children's Church. And this is how I made them pray. I'm going to do this. This. Okay, you gotta be big with little kids and loud. So let's all be a little kid this morning. Ready? Dear Lord, I just pray that you would encourage us to believe your promise. Encourage us to believe your promise. May we walk in your promise. May you look down and see people who trust you, that you can trust, that are reliable. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 13, first, the promise. I just want to read a verse to you. You don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, Israel's in slavery, and this is what God tells Moses. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up to a land good and large, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. This is God's promise to them. I'm going to bring you to a land where you are going to be safe. You're going to have your needs met. You're going to be self-sufficient. There's going to be plenty of blessing. When he says there's going to be milk, you have to have what to have milk? A cow. In order to have a cow, you got to have grass. Say grass. So God's going to put a black cow making white milk, eating green grass under a blue sky. That's what you got to have milk. To have honey, you got to have a bee, and a bee needs a flower to have honey. So there's going to be a place where there's green grass, cows, bees, flowers, fruit, vegetables. You can grow whatever you want, and it's going to be big, and it's going to be yours. Now, to someone who is in slavery in Egypt, that's nice. I mean, that's nice anywhere, but that's nice. This is what the promise God has made you. What has God promised all of you? Now, there's some basic promises. Never to leave you or forsake you. I've always wanted to be on a CD, you know, like a music CD. I don't sing, don't rap, don't play music, but I still always wanted to be on a CD. You ever dream about stuff you know you can't do? That's faith. No, that's stupidity. That's ignorance. But I always wanted, you know, I like the studio. I like soundproof rooms with the headphones. And so the other day, I got an opportunity to be on my first CD. The Unity Clan, they've been here several times. They rap, and on this CD, the CD is very, very ministry-minded. And at the end of their CD, the last song was this woman singing about how God has promised to take us to a faraway place. It's a beautiful song. And at the end of the song, I share the gospel. saying, you know, God has promised you this, he's promised you that, he's promised you this, but there's a catch. You need to be saved. You know, you're not going to go to heaven. I share the gospel. And so, anyway, I got to be on my first CD, but it's going to go over the world. We're going to get millions of people saved. But I was talking about the promises of God. God has promised to wipe away your tears. He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. He's promised to forgive you of all your sin and remember them no more. He's promised to give you an abundant life. These are all in the Bible promises, and guess what? If you trust God, they will come true. They will come true. I was on a radio program the other day, the Dana Sturgeon Show on K-Praise, and it used to be Today's Woman. And every time she would ask me to be on the show, I would get my girly voice. Because she would say, hello, women, we're out there, all the ladies, we're here with our guest today on Today's Woman, Miles McPherson. So I'd go, hi, ladies, how are you? You know, and I would talk, and I would say, Dana, you know. And then she wanted me to host the show. Now, I don't know what she was trying to tell her brother, you know what I'm saying? But she changed the name to the Dana Sturgeon Show. So I'm on the show, I think it was Wednesday, talking about the Jabez Prayer. And these people started calling up, and this one woman asked, is there any magic to this prayer? I said, no. This is a verse in the Bible. When you pray God's word and you pray according to God's promise, God cannot deny himself. He can't deny himself. So if you pray according to his promise, God's not going to say, oh, I changed that one. And if you pray according to God's promise and you live according to God's word, stuff is going to happen differently than if you don't. It will. If you pray according to God's word and you trust him according to his word and you live according to his word and you do what he says, stuff will happen different than if you don't. So right here he says, I am promising this to happen in your life. I'm promising. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you repent of your sin, he will forgive you and cleanse you. That's his promise. He can't lie. He can't deny himself. He's promised. The Bible says in John 14, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Even greater stuff. What does that mean? Oh, that I probably don't know the whole scope of it, but I can imagine preaching on TV. Jesus never did that. I'm going to go in Nashville at the end of this month, and I'm speaking at this arena in Nashville with Newsboys and Audio Adrenaline, this other band, Supertones, in front of like 6,000 to 8,000 kids, but then they're going to simulcast it to churches all over the country. They expect 100,000 kids. Now, maybe that's what Jesus is talking about. I don't know. Stuff I never even done. But you know what? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God would do something in your life? Do you believe that God can heal your marriage? You believe God can heal your relationship with your kids? You believe God can heal you? You believe that? Well, if he's told you, guess what? You better hold on to that promise. Well, he told these guys, listen, I'm going to bring you to a land with milk and honey, large. Your enemies are going to be taken out, and you're going to be able to live good. Okay, that's the promise. Now, I want you to think about what your promise is. Okay, I want you to write it down and write it in your mind. That's the promise. The next step is the process. First comes the promise, and then comes the process of taking the promise. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, chapter 13, verse 17. The next step is 13:17 in Numbers. It says, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years after Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshkol because of the cluster which the men had cut down, and they returned from spying out the land for 40 days. Now, they go to Mount Sinai. They get the Ten Commandments and all the commandments. God descends on the mountain. They do all the stuff there. Moses is there 40 days, fasting twice on the mountain. They go 11 days. They're at the promised land, and they say, okay, we're at the promised land. This is what God told us. Go in and check it out. See if the people there are big. See if the fruit is there. See if it's milk and honey. See what's there. They come back with all this evidence after 40 days. Now, we talked about 40 being a number of testing. After 40 days in the Bible, the test is over. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. The rain ended when Noah built his ark. After it rained 40 days, the water subsided for 40 days. Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights with God twice. David and Solomon were kings for 40 years. These guys spied out the land for 40 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Elijah fasted for 40 days. 40 all throughout the Bible. A woman is pregnant 40 weeks. If you're pregnant today, you're going to be pregnant 40 weeks, and the placenta dies after 40 weeks. That's why you go into labor and have a baby. 40 is the number of testing. The baby gets brainwaves after 40 days. So 40 days, 40 is the number of testing. Okay? 40, matter of fact, 40 lashings was a death penalty. Paul got 40 lashings minus one, five times. Okay? Jesus was lashed 40 lashes minus one, 39 lashes. Okay? So 40 is the number of testing. So they go out for 40 days. They say, listen, after 40 days, you're going to know. Basically the point. You are going to know. So they go in for 40 days and they get all the evidence. I don't know if you remember the movie The Great Escape. Anybody remember that movie? Okay, it's an old movie. A lot of y'all don't want to participate this morning, I see. Great Escape was a war movie, and these guys were in a prison of war camp. And they were going to plan this great escape out of the camp. And they were going to dig a tunnel under one of the barracks, underneath the fence, and into the woods. And so they needed to get evidence on what was outside, where the train stations were, where the rivers were, where the lakes were, what the train schedule was, when the trains came. And they asked Steve McQueen to bust out of the camp, go out and go to all of these nearest towns and make up a map and get all the schedules. He had to memorize it because he couldn't write anything down. And memorize where all the train stations, what the train schedules were, et cetera, and then get caught and be brought back. He's like, are you crazy? You want me to go out and go do all of that, basically be free, and then get caught and come back? They said, yes. We want you to spy out the land. Tell us what's out there. That's what they told him. They went out and spied out the land, see what it is. Now, in all your life that you've been walking with God or walking on this earth, you've been spying out the land. You've been checking out, is God true and faithful or not? Has God been blessing me, and will he bless me? Does he bless people? Does he perform miracles? Does he do the impossible? You've been consciously or subconsciously checking out the world and seeing where you can fit, where you can be blessed, where you could succeed. That's what you've been doing all your life. Now, you may not have been paying attention because you're not paying attention. Some people are students of life. And some people are just here. You just, where you going? Nowhere. You fail to plan, so you plan to fail. Your life is about nothing. But some of you are students. You're paying attention. And you're noticing, you know what? I'm good at that, but I'm not good at that. I used to sing in a band when I was like 12. I can't sing. Never could sing. Never will be able to sing. Didn't sing then. But I tried it. Okay, but because I was a student, somewhat, of the embarrassment that I had every time I sang, I came to the conclusion I will never do this again. But some people are not students. They keep doing the wrong thing over and over and over and over and over again. Well, these guys said, listen, go out there and pay attention. What you need to pay attention is, what is God calling you to do? What is God doing in your life? Don't pray that God bless what you do. Pray that you would have the wisdom to do what God's blessing. If I said, Lord, you know what I want to do now? I want to be a stockbroker. Will you bless that? He would go, you want to be a stockbroker? No. I want to make money, God. I want to be a millionaire. Now, that would be done for me. Okay, God, bless this. versus saying, God, you're blessing this. This is what, it's already obvious. This is what I want to do. So you need to find out, what is God doing in your life? And look at verse 23. Same, we just read it. Verse 23. They went out for 40 days. They investigated the land. Verse 23, they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and the figs. The place is called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel had cut down. And they returned from spying out the land 40 days. Verse 26. Now, as they departed, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. In verse 27, which is our memory verse, they told them, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly, everybody say truly. Say truly. It truly flows with milk and honey, and here is its fruit. Watch this. They're in slavery. They get supernaturally delivered from slavery. When you get forgiven of your sin, it is supernatural. It's supernatural, the fact that you are not crazy. It's supernatural that some of y'all aren't dead right now. Amen? Some of y'all should be dead. Drugs y'all use, people y'all hang out with, places y'all been, diseases y'all had, you should be dead. God not only has healed you or protected you physically, but spiritually he's cleansed you of your sin. That is a miracle. I was in a car going to a conference, and to this youth conference, and I, you know, you got to talk to people in the car, and they're taking you from the airport, and so I'm, you know, talking. What do y'all believe? Because, you know, y'all from this denomination, this denomination, y'all believe in this, y'all believe in this. And this guy says, well, we don't believe in miracles. I said, so you're telling me all these kids I'm getting ready to talk to don't believe in miracles? He goes, well, you know, our doctrine, blah, 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 blah. I said, hold up, stop the press, Leroy. What is it when you get saved and God cleanses you of your sin and renews your mind? What is that? That's a miracle. You didn't do it. If you could have done it yourself, you would have did it before. Right? That's a miracle. What is it when you wake up thinking about God? When you're in trouble and you think about God? That is a miracle. That is God. That's no smaller than God moving this building across the street. It's a miracle. It's something God does. God does. What they did is they went into the promised land. They got delivered by all these miracles. They're right there after 2 years. They bring back proof that the promised land is exactly what God said. It's exactly what he said. But what are they going to do? What is God doing in your life that is exactly what he said? He whispered something in your ear. Pss, 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 and all of a sudden, something happens. It's just what he said. Oh, wow. What are you going to do? And then he whispers to you something else. Go over here and do this. Pss, pss, and then all of a sudden, it happens. You got evidence. And to give you an example, God tells you to go to college. You go, I don't have any money. Go to college. I don't have any money. I didn't tell you to make money. I told you to go to college. Well, how am I going to go to college? Just go to college. So you go over there and you sign up and you see it's going to be $357.97. You go home and you go, I need $357.97. All of a sudden, someone gives you $357.97. All of a sudden, they waive your tuition. You got to start walking towards the promise. If you sit around and wait, it ain't going to happen. You got to say, I'm taking notes. God did this. God did this. He gave me intelligence somewhat. He gave me friends. I got the books. I got the bus ticket to get over there. Okay, so I'm going. So he told these people, go in. And you know what they said? It's just what he said. It's just what he said. First, you had the promise, and you had the process of going, checking it out. But now you got the problem. Their problem is that people have no faith. You got two kinds of people in the world. You got people who walk by faith and people who walk by fear. I'm sure there's 8 million, you got two kinds of people in the world statements. But you got people who walk by faith and people who walk by fear. Okay? And in their situation, they're getting ready to take in the promise, but there's a but. Look at verse 28. Look at 27. We'll go to 28. It says, we just read 27. It says, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is his fruit. But, watch this. God will show you all this great thing that he wants to do for you in a vision, in your heart, in your mind, as you're praying. He'll show you all the evidence or evidence that it's going to happen. And it may be only about a little bit of evidence. Some people need a lot of evidence. Some people need a little bit. I don't need any. If he just says it, I could. That's all I need. But there's always going to be people, no matter how much evidence you get, that are going to go, but. You know what I'm saying? They walk around going, but. Says verse 28. How was church today? We got mooned. Look what it says. Nevertheless, but the people who dwell in the land are stronger. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, the descendants of Anak are there. The Amalekites dwell on the land in the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Oh my gosh, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Let us go up at once and take the possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him, remember they were 12, 10 of them, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report, a report based on fear. Out of the land of the which they had spied out, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. Two kinds of people. I see the glory of God. I see the fear of man. You got these people in your life? Get rid of them. Get rid of them. It's one thing. The Bible says to count the cost. Okay, we're going to need this. We're going to need this. We're going to need this. But it's another thing to say it's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Period. End of story. Everything is impossible. Just put an H in front of it. Impossible. He can do it. They says, we can't do it. No, you cannot do it. What's so revolutionary about that? We're looking for, we're always looking for a building and more room and da-da-da-da. And so we keep extrapolating out. I know it's a big word, but it's extrapolate. You like that? I couldn't wait to say that this morning. Projecting out how much, what kind of a sanctuary size we look for, how many parking spaces, how much office space, if we're going to grow, at what rate, what does that mean? You know, no one knows the answer to those questions, but the best we could do is with the information we have. And when it all said and done, it's going to take $30, $40, $50 million. It's so funny. We don't have $30, $40, $50 million. And I don't think anything y'all got it. Anybody got it, let me know. And then you have it and give it to me is a whole other story, you know, or giving it to God. So that makes the miracle all that much more exciting. Okay, God, this is your church, ain't mine. All we got to do is pray and obey. God tells you to do something, you do it. Don't worry about what you don't know. Don't worry about all the neverthelesses that people say. What about this? What about that? What about that? Oh, please, please be quiet. Tell me the facts, and then let's start praying and watch God start dealing with the facts. He'll knock them down like nothing. That's the exciting thing about walking with God. God's not going to take you around the valley of shadow of death. If you don't know the verses, you lead me through the valley of shadow of death. You are my shepherd. He takes you through the valley of shadow of death. And you're like, oh, it's dark. lions and tigers and bears, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. He's not going to say, I'm with you. Never going to leave you or forsake you. Watch me make these lions eat out of your hand. Yeah, wouldn't you love a lion to just eat out of your hand? But you ain't going to have a lion eat out of your hand if you're scared to go up to the lion. Nevertheless, they didn't believe. One, they forgot the miracles of the past. Turn to chapter 14, verse 11. They forgot the miracles of the past. Look what it says in verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed for them, among them, I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you another greater nation mightier than them. You know what God says? I don't need y'all. You know what? God don't need Miles. He don't need you. He'll get somebody else. Just like that. He'll get somebody else. He don't need you. He don't need me. He goes, I'm only going to use who's humble before me and obedient. That's it. Once that stops, I get somebody else. God got pestilence. He got earthquakes. He got fire. He got poisonous snakes. He'll take you out any way he wants. I mean, in chapter 16 is where he opened up the earth and swallowed up a whole group of people. Then he fought, and we're going to see in a minute, he killed these 10 dudes by plagues. Just gave him disease. He don't care. He said, listen, you got a problem with me? Whap! Next. But look what he says here in verse 11. You forgot everything I've done for you. Have you guys ever written down all the miracles God has done in your life? You remember that time a few years ago you were suicidal? Remember that time you were broke, had no money, didn't know how you were going to eat? Or didn't know where you were going to live, didn't know how you were going to pay your bills, and you were just stressing, tripping. You remember that? Oh, you forgot, huh? You forgot how God got you out of that. Matter of fact, God got you out of it so good, you don't even remember the pain. Remember that time you broke your leg, and your leg was all this big, and you thought you'd never walk again? Oh, you forgot which leg it was. I tore my Achilles. I had operations, all these injuries, but I tore my Achilles several years ago. I can't remember which one it was. But I remember when I had for the 4 months that I was rehabbing it, I remember it was right there. It was there. It was this big. You know, God says, I'm going to erase that from your memory. And so many times God does all these miracles, we forget, and the next thing we're starting our faith all over again. He's like, man, I'm tired of these people. I done all these miracles in their life. Look at chapter 13, verse 27. We just read it. Not only did they forget the miracles of the past, they're denying the evidence of the present. Verse 27, we just read it twice. They told them, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. But there's big people there. I don't want to hear about that. I didn't send you into the land to tell me whether we should take it. I sent you into the land to tell me how we're going to take it. That's what I want. That's what you do your research for. God doesn't tell you to do something, and then you decide whether it's too big. You decide whether it's impossible. He sends you in it so you can decide how and pray for a plan of how to get it done. Matter of fact, he wants you to know all the obstacles, so when he overcomes them, you can go, you bad. You bad. Ever seen the Bible where Jesus is healing somebody, and he ever asked them what's wrong with them? Little boy was demon-possessed. And Jesus says to everybody, the disciples pray for the little boy. No one healed the little boy. And he says, hey, Father, how long has your son been demon-possessed? And he says, ever since he was a child. He throws him into the fire and into the water. Jesus wasn't asking the question because he didn't know the answer. He knew the answer. He was asking the question so all of y'all could know the answer. So when he healed them, y'all would know how bad he was. So when you do your little due diligence of your vision, oh, it's going to take this, it's going to take this, it's going to take this. You go, okay, God, when you overcome that, man, I'm really going to believe. And you know what? I'm not going to forget all those miracles in the process. That's what he's saying here. But these guys, no, nevertheless, there's people who in the land who are big, and they're giants, and we're too small, and they thought we were little, and they're going to whoop a yin, yin, yin. God says, Moses, let me kill him, Moses. Let me kill him. Let me kill him. And here's what they did. You know, when I look at all, if you were to sit down and look at all the stuff God is doing in your life, and he's done in your life, there'd be no question that you would have more than ample proof that you should trust him. Just how amazing he is. I was watching Discovery Channel the other day. They were doing a thing on the giant squid. They were 6 feet long, just from as big as me, big around like this. And these giant squid have killed more people than sharks. Okay? And they turn colors when they're swimming through the water and when they're getting attacked or mating or whatever they're doing something. They start red, green, red, red, green, purple. Boom, they just start lighting up. It's amazing. And they get bright. And then they have this cloud of stuff they shoot out of their body when they're in fighting so they can blind their enemy. Well, this guy goes in this cage because he wants to study them. And he's in this cage. I'm thinking 6 feet, a squid. I'm thinking, you know, little tiny squids like this, right? So this thing has, I don't know, 8 legs with all these suction cups on it. And they're swimming through the water. And a fish would go by, and they would just go, whap! It was sweet. Then they just eat it. The fish is like got 8 arms all around them, right? Can't go anywhere. Then you just spit it out. Another one comes by. So this guy, he's in his cage. I'm thinking, why is he in a cage for a squid? Well, this squid came in the cage and was just smacking him all over. And he was all trying to get away from the squid. Now I'm dying laughing, right? Why are you messing with the squid? And the thing that made it worse, it was at nighttime. The scariest thing's got to be going in the ocean at nighttime. You got to be psychotic to do that. Okay? So he's in his cage, and this squid is just like, oh, you mine. He's just, he's turning purple and blue and red and squirting out all this cloudy stuff, and the guy's going, oh, I can't get it. And the squid don't kill him. It doesn't kill him. You know, they never show that part. I was watching one day, this guy, this American went down somewhere in South America to hunt look for snakes. I love snakes. And it was like a 23-foot anaconda, some snake. And he had maybe 10 guys from that place. They didn't speak English. And they were there to help him find, you know, track. And they always get the local guys to do all the hard work, right? And they got to track it and find it. And then he gets all the glory. Like, he found the snake. But they really found the snake. Well, this snake was like 23 feet. So you're almost the stage. That's a big snake. And so they got 20 dudes holding this snake, right? And now these are the guys who live there. And they're thinking, what am I doing? I live here. I don't need to be messed with. I know these snakes are dangerous. And then they got the white guy from America. He's telling them what to do, right? Because he's never seen a snake this big. They see it every day. And this one guy who's living there, he's got the snake around the neck. And the snake, no exaggeration, his mouth is open. It's like this big. And he's got it like this. And the snake is like, ah. And the dude is like, I got to get another job. I got to get another job. I am cracking up, right? So they got like 40 dudes holding this snake, and this snake is trying to eat this man. Babe, I will eat you, okay? And then take a nap. And his mouth is like this big. And the guy's like, and all the dudes like, and the white guy from America, he's over there doing something, right? Then something happens. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't good. All of a sudden, the white guy from America got the snake wrapped around his body. Now, this is serious, because this snake will kill him. So he's got the snake wrapped, and like I said, I don't know how it happened. But see, the snake is everywhere, right? And I know in his eye, he's thinking, okay, you're the guy I got to get. Because I see these other guys here all the time. They don't ever mess with me. You're the guy. Oh, man, I wish I could. Oh, man, I tell you. So, so So this snake, he's just long, right? He's fighting everybody. And he's like, I'll work my way over to you. So he's kind of like. And then he went, whack. All of a sudden, this dude, he's got the snake wrapped like twice around his gut. And he is screaming. He is getting crushed. I am dying laughing. Why you want to mess with the snake? You know, animals are wild. They're going to do wild things. So these guys, and I was just waiting for the other dudes to go, hoo-da, hoo-da, hoo-da. One eye, oh, smart man. So now they're trying to unravel the snake. They finally get it off him. He is sitting down, and he's still trying to do his show, right? He's sitting down. The cameraman was great because he didn't, like, you know, turn it off. He was like, we're going to get this guy. He's going to die right on television. So the guy, they finally unravel him, and he's like, I mean, he was for real going to die. And they got the snake down. But you know what? When you look at stuff like that, and we think we're all great and mighty, God, you know, God was dying laughing. God said, I put 100,000 muscles in that snake's body. You think you're going to just mess with him? I went down here to the zoo, and I got a backstage pass to all these different parts of the zoo to touch the animals. And my father's an elephant lover. And we went to see these elephants, and we're standing, there's big concrete walls that came together, and they were about, it was a space of about 4 feet in between these concrete walls that were maybe 20 feet high, and there was a bar maybe 12 feet above the ground. And this one elephant came over, and we were feeding him out of our hand. He put his nose under the bar, and his trunk was like this big around, and he would just take the little fruit out of our hand with the tip of his nose, his trunk. Then all of a sudden, the ground started to shake. We heard boom, boom, boom. And the elephant that was we were feeding backed up and moved over real quick. Went boom, boom, boom. And this big old elephant named Debbie. That was her name. She came over, wham, wham, wham. She was like, it ain't the size of the ocean, but the motion in the ocean, baby. She came walking over, bam, just shaking it all, right over the pole. And her trunk came at us like, whoosh. And I'm telling you, you look at those trunks, it is like steel with skin. There's 100,000 muscles in an elephant's trunk. And they can down 10 gallons of water a second. And then they could pick a peanut right off the ground. And we're sitting there petting this trunk. It was solid as a rock. And I'm thinking, God is a bad dude. He's a bad dude. He says, all that stuff I've done in creation, all that stuff I've done for your life, and you still got nerve to doubt me? Here's your punishment. Chapter 14, verse 20. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. He instead of killing him, Moses prayed in verse 21, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. My friends, the earth will see the glory of God, whether it be through you or not, whether it be through me or not. You will see the glory of God. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord, whether you like it or not. You may be saying, my Lord, my God, or my Lord, I'm in trouble. One of the two. Verse 22. Because all these men who have seen my glory and signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their families, nor shall those who reject me see it. But my servant Caleb has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Look at verse 30. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore to make you dwell. But your little ones, whom you said will be victims, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. And watch this, according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear the guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. They had 40 days to see if everything God said was true, and they saw it was true, and they denied him. He said, well, you know what? Your punishment is 40 years. Why'd they walk 40 years? Because God judged them. That's why. Because they didn't believe him. You know what? You keep denying God, God's going to judge you. Some of y'all right now are suffering the consequences from stuff, sin you had years ago. Some of y'all right now are in financial trouble for decisions you made a long time ago because you didn't trust God. You're in a bad relationship because you made a decision a long time ago and didn't trust God. You're in a bad job. Whatever your situation is because a long time ago you didn't trust God. Now, here's the good news. The good news is that if you trust him, he can restore, the Bible says, what the locusts have eaten. He can restore those lost years. He can. He can restore it. But you have to trust him. It's going to take and require you to say, Lord, I am not going to listen to the negative people. I am going to trust you by faith and surrender everything I know about myself and my situation to you and take a step of faith no matter what the obstacles say, no matter what the naysayers say, no matter what the experts. Let me tell you something. God has not called you to walk with him according to knowledge, according to education, or according to experience. He's not called you to walk according to man's counsel. He's called you to walk according to his word. Because his word will tell you to do stuff that goes against logic. It goes against your experience. It goes against man's counsel. Before I started this church, I can't tell you how many people who are wise told me not to do it. They said, you're making a mistake. I had a person who's a prayer person say, you're not supposed to do it. I said, thank you very much. Goodbye. You have to be sure. Is that what God said? Then you go. Now, God may turn you here through circumstances, but you're still going after the promise. You're still going after the promise. My challenge to you this week is to identify your promised land. If you're taking notes, here's your homework for the week, and you have on your thing, your stonework. Identify the promised land for you. You know, one of my promised lands is a building and a property and a campus for this church. Identify the promise. Okay, God, we want to have more room. That's why I'm trying to get you guys to go to 8:30 service so we can get more people here and keep filling up all the services so we can use up all the chairs. But, Lord, give us a place, bop, bam. It's going to cost, bop, cha-ching. Cha-ching, ching, ching. And so, God, you know what? That's going to be so exciting to see you do it. The other day, 3 days ago, God told me, I was laying in bed, and he says, I want you to start getting plans ready for, you know, just get some ideas for a building. I was like, you know, like, just what kind of buildings, da, 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 da. The next day, this guy walks into our office, and he had been talking to Larry, one of the pastors, for a couple weeks. I didn't know it. And he's an architect, and he's doing a master's degree, and he drew, and Larry had told him, because he wanted to use our church as his project for his degree, his thesis. He says, go find a piece of land and just draw up something, and here are the ideas me and Miles have talked about. I didn't know all this. The next day, he comes to my office, in our office, with all these plans. He found 95 acres, 4,500-seat arena, amphitheater, family center, all this stuff he drew for his class. Now, this is just us dreaming. It's 95 acres. It's $95 million for the dirt. I mean, you know, we're just dreaming, but I didn't know this. And he comes in, he has it all drawn, I still haven't seen it, all drawn out. And so now, at least if we get some ideas, we give it to someone who knows how to do that stuff. And God said, just keep dreaming. Don't worry about all the stuff you can't do. I'm going to put it all together in my time and my way. And that's how you have to walk. God, I'm trusting. God, I'm trusting. And you watch it. And the good thing about it is you have to take note and write down the obstacles. Make a note of them. Obstacle number one is this. Obstacle number two is this. Obstacle number three, I don't have the money. I don't have the experience. I don't have the contacts. I don't have the friends. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm uneducated. Write all that stuff down, whatever your obstacle is, and then say, God, here it is. And God says, yeah, watch me work. Watch me work. That's how you get into the promised land. Don't think your promised land is going to come without you being tested, without your faith being purified, without your trust in God being refined. That's the good part. We talked about going to a small group. Well, I don't need to go to a small group. Yes, you do. I see people come to church without Bibles all the time. Same people with no Bible. Think about what you, if that's you, think. You got it all memorized. Or you don't need to read it with your eyes. You just listen. Or you're just lazy. But whatever it is, it's wrong. And God's saying, can you just do that? Let's try. Just do that for once and see what happens. Well, you know, it's not cool walking around with a Bible. You know, I got to be able to walk in church like this. If I got a Bible, you know, it's just not, yeah, I got to have my hands free. Please, bring your Bible. Bring your we'll give you this bulletin. Bring a pen. It's like, and listen, don't do it because I'm telling you. Ask God what he thinks. It's like, duh. It's like going to school. You ever go to in class, you don't have your books, you don't have your homework, you don't have your pen, and your teacher looks at you and goes, book? Why do I need my book? Why do I need a pen? Go ahead, teacher. I got it. It's like, that's just dumb. And the teacher looks at you and goes, all right, and he starts teaching, and you're just sitting there, you know, picking your nose, flirting with the girls. You got a pen to write her phone number down, though. You know what I'm saying? My point is this, is that you say, Lord, here's what I believe you're telling me. And you know what God's going to say? But here's all the stuff you got to do. If you could do all this stuff, this will happen. And you know what? If you're faithful to do all this stuff, you'll be so excited in the process that you'll stop worrying about this. Because all the process and jumping over those obstacles is the fun part. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your love for us. We thank you so much for your goodness. I pray that we would identify those promised lands in our life. And we would identify the promises you have made to us. The hopes and dreams we have. And we would also identify those obstacles. And that we would, by faith, take the promised land. No matter what the obstacles look like, we will pursue them. Lord, bless us this week. May we be a good example to people as someone who lives by faith. And Lord, I pray as we close in on our year anniversary, that you would, for the people who have been here the whole time, and many of them have, you would give us a sense of satisfaction that we made it a year, we were faithful, and you did it. You did it. You started a church. You have established and establishing your church. Thank you for all the things that have happened. Thank you for all the faithful people in this room. The money they've given, the prayers they've given, the service. But Lord, we thank you so much more for the future, because if you did this in 1 year, I can't even extrapolate what's going to happen in 10 years. I can't even imagine. So I know wherever you put us, it's going to be according to your plan and not my extrapolation, not my calculation. But Lord, it's fun figuring anyway. And I pray that in all of our personal lives that we would dream as big as you tell us, put no limit on what we dream. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank all you people who were here from the beginning and all that you've done. Next year is our 52nd Sunday, and the week after that we're going to celebrate our one-year anniversary. And so I want to thank you and keep bringing your friends, and let's keep spreading the gospel through San Diego. Amen? Amen. God bless you. God bless you.